I'm Dr. Tim Tuden, pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. Thank you for taking time to listen, whether it's over our radio broadcast, on CD, podcast, or our website. I really do believe that God has a special message just for you, a message designed to encourage you, to strengthen your faith, and to guide you in your daily living. Let's go now to the sanctuary of Harvest Christian Ministries for a worship experience already in progress.
We're going to share today from Psalms 122 and 1. I rejoice with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Worth saying again, I rejoice with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." I want to preach today from the sermonic title, very simply, why come to church? Why come to church? First of all, I want to say good morning and is glad to have you in church. You made a decision this morning or this week that I am going to church on Sunday. And you got up and you prepared yourself to come this way. We know the church is not a building. The church really is a body of believers. And so that makes up the church. In fact, it's a Greek word called koinonia, which means fellowship, association. It means communion. And we come together as the church. Jesus was talking with Peter one day, and he said to him, one of his followers, he said, "And your name is Peter, and on this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Why come to church? The church has survived persecution. It has survived scandals, but it is still the church. And I come back to the title, why even show up? Why come together? Why fellowship? As I look back on my own life, I sat from my earliest days on the second pew from the left at the Springfield Baptist Church with my mother, and I would just go to sleep on her lap. That was church for me at that young age. But as I got older, I attended church. There's an old saying of kids said to someone, "My parents drugged me." I said, "What do you mean they drugged you?" "Shame." "No, they drugged me to church." We live right next door to the church. All you had to do is just walk over the property line and you were at church. So the Tudens would be at church if no one else would. As I became a teenager and got big and bad and went to college, my church attendance declined. Can I get a witness? I was big and bad enough that I said, you know what? Nobody's going to spy on me. I don't have to go. And I would call my mother. She would say, "Did you go to church this Sunday?" I said, "No, ma'am, but I'm working on it." And the word got out that the nice girls went to church. All the pretty girls went to church. I had guys knocking on my door every Sunday, "Tootin', are you going?" So I went for all the wrong reasons, but I made my way to church. As I became older and began to raise my own family, I went back to why I come to church and began to bring my family to church with me, and they serve even today. But I'm most impressed and thankful for it, not that they come to church, but that they know Christ and the pardon of their sins. That to me is important. And so whether you came today because you wanted to, or you came today because you were drugged, thank God you are in church today. If there's one who knows about church and about faith, it is one by the name of David. David began, we see him there watching his father-in-law sheep at the backside of the mountain, and he is little David. He grows up and becomes David the warrior. He makes the headlines when he goes out and kills big bad Goliath with what a slingshot and five smooth stones. But David really had some ups and downs in his life. He didn't always get it right. He messed up. His His family had issues. He had issues, but he knew how to run back to God. That's the important part. No matter how many church hours you've logged, that when we fall short, we can always run back to God, and through his son, Jesus Christ, he will forgive us. That still boggles the mind that you mean with all that I've done, that he still accepts me as a son or a daughter? You didn't get that. With all that you have done that nobody knew about, all that you're involved in, and yet we serve the kind of God that allows us to still come back and to make it right. And so I thank God for that. And so David helps us as one who shows up. And by this time in his life, he's able to write this. David got an invitation one day. He says, I rejoice with those who said to me, hey, David, what you doing? Let us go to the house of the Lord. David, come on, let's go into the temple. He got an invitation and someone invited you. And you've invited someone to say, what are you doing on Sunday? Why don't we go to church? And the fact of the matter is that people in society have traded church in for entertainment. We've traded church in for sporting events. We've traded church in for everything else, any other sideshow. But I come to declare that there's a reason why you came to church. And I'm glad to see you and bring somebody with you on next Sunday. There's something that draws us to this institution, to this body of believers, and it's called the church. And so as I look at this text with a larger context, I want to talk about, first and foremost, this sense that the church is the place of God's presence. It's the place of God's presence. When my son was 8 years old, we were driving to church one morning, and he posed a deep theological question. He said, Dad, he says, where does God live? And I was almost right off the road. I said, now, you can't give him a bubble gum answer. Where does God live? Before I could get deep, he says, isn't the church God's house? I said, yeah, you're right, man. That's where God lives. From his 8-year-old perspective, the church is where God lives. And so even as you come this morning, know that the presence of God is in this place. Why? Because we've lifted up songs, we've prayed, we've read scriptures, so we've basically brought the presence of God into this place. You can have a church atmosphere in your home. And I begin to tell him that, you know, God will come in your heart. What does that mean? That explain the heart. Wasn't the real heart that pumps the blood, but the heart is our seat of emotions. And so I was like, oh, but I never forgot the fact that he sensed that God hung out there. That was his house. And so as you come today, you're coming into the house of God. I come to church because God's presence is there and God's people are there. And I sense this sense of koinonia, this sense of fellowship in the house. And that's good news today, because we're not people that always have to be, I felt something. But don't you feel better when you come to church? Don't make me push you. Isn't it the fact that you're weak is a little better? I never felt right not being at church on Sunday. Man, I'm old fashioned. I didn't wash cars on Sunday. And when I moved in my apartment in West Virginia and I was across the street from a church, I said, man, you know you can't wash your car on Sunday until after those church folks go home. And once they went home, I went out and washed my car, but I still didn't feel right. There are certain things you just didn't do. But the presence of God is really always with us, and we take his presence everywhere we go. And just as you think about it metaphorically, the word says over in Psalm 11:4, the Lord is in his holy temple. Think of in his church. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes everyone on earth. His eyes examine them. We are in the midst of the Lord. Amen? The Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Do you sense something today that I'm in church, but I'm here because I feel the presence of God in the house? I do. There's nothing wrong with my own house. When I get to the place, even though this will transform into a movie house later, his presence will stay here. I don't know what flick is playing today. What I do know is that you have come in and you've sat down and you've left the presence of God in this place. Why come to church? It's the place of God's presence. Don't you feel him? Don't you sense something happening that you can't really explain except that it felt all right? I can make it now. On the way in, I didn't know if I was going to make it. But now that I've come to church, and it was the Songs of Zion, it was a passage read, it was somebody who gave me a high five or gave me a hug, but I sensed it was God's doing, and his presence is here. But not just that. We come to church because of God's peace. And you may say, there's no other place I can find peace of mind except when I come to church. Can everybody give a whew? I can exhale that no matter what's happening at home or on the job, that when I come to church, I feel relaxed and right at home. Why? The peace of God is in this place. Amen? So he will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed. Oh, don't you feel a little light now that, you know what? I can make it. I'm whistling and skipping around because I'm in church and I sense his peace. Even though my world is chaotic, even though things are going crazy on a roller coaster, there's something about being in church that said, you know what? I'm glad I came. That I can look at this thing and say, you know what? It's going to be all right. Anybody ever done that? I mean, you came here and said, no, you don't. If you only knew what I was going through, I was getting ready. But once I sat down in the place and began to hear the songs of Zion, I felt a sense of peace. Heart rate went down, smile on my face. Do you sense his peace today? It's good to know that I can come to church because it is a place of God's peace. Peace that passeth all understanding. Peace that allows me to have a greater perspective. Same problem, but I see it differently. It's been said that peace is making a decision and not having to keep looking back like, should I or could I? Lord, thank you. I can breathe. I've got peace. How many folk have peace today? And you know it. That folk may think you're too laid back, you're too cool, but you've got the peace of God operating in your life, and that's what you'll get at church, is you'll get his peace. Isn't that good news? Over in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, one of my favorite passages say, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you sense some peace in the house? I dare you to take a deep breath and then exhale for a moment. Don't you feel his peace? Oh, Reverend, you don't know my week, but I'm in the house now. And because I've come to church, I have got, in fact, I'm packing some peace up with me. When I leave here, what are you doing? I got peace. I got some extra to take back home with me and on the job. And I can take this peace, this serenity that comes from God. I can find it. Can I say church? Amen. Don't you sense it today? Don't make me push you, but I see you're smiling more. Some of y'all got comfortable in your seats now because you sense that I've come to church. And because I've come, I've got the peace of God. So his presence is here. And there's God's peace in this place. But I really like this. We also find God's power. And see, we in corporate America associate power with big shop, big office, big car, big house, big money. I'm powerful. I'm somebody. I'm on Forbes list of richest people. No, I've got the power of God because I've got the Holy Spirit living in me. Amen? Amen. And the Greek word for power is dunamis, which means dynamite. Uh-oh. I know you have some firecrackers on 4th of July, but when you light this up, You can blow the house up. Amen. I'm talking about having the power of God operating in you, that you are a powerful somebody. Don't look like much, but I'm carrying around with me some arsenal. It is the spirit and the power of God. And when you come to church, you ought to feel his power. Anybody ever feel his power when they come to church? You may feel like you were not powerful at all, that you were a nobody. But once the Spirit of God starts to move and you're reminded of what he's brought you through, you're reminded of what he's taken you through, and you have got power. Jesus told those disciples, "Say, I'm going away, but I will send my power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And you ought to walk out of here with your chest sticking up, your head in the air, and just smiling. What's wrong with you? I got power. Amen? I'm not talking about politics. I'm not talking about government per se. I'm talking about the power that comes from the Lord. Do you feel powerful today? I feel powerful because I'm in the place where he who's the power source operates, and it's God is in the house. Power, 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 power. And people say, why do I need to go to church? I can get power at home by watching TV. Amen. And I call that bedside Baptist church. That means you throw one leg out of bed, turn the TV on, and they'll smile at you. And that's great. But when you come in the house, there's something that happens that you can't get through the TV or the radio. Do you agree today? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt the power of God get you one Sunday, move on you in such a way that you felt his presence in the place? I'm just taking a poll. And what did that feel like? That felt like something was happening in the supernatural that I couldn't explain. And so I come to the conclusion, it is the power of God working in this place. The writer of Hebrews says this. He says, you know what? Here's my answer to those who say, no need for church. I don't know why y'all go and listen to that preacher. You can get it right on tape. Hebrews 10, 24, 25. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. In other words, I won't see you all week if you didn't come to church. I can't get to all of your houses. I don't come to where you live. But the fact that you've come to church, we are having some fellowship today. Amen? How many folk got spoken to today? How many folk were greeted today? How many folk got a smile today? How many folk got a hug today? You felt that, you know what? I'm in the right place. I feel accepted. I feel powerful. God's presence, his power, and his peace are in the house today. Rich Langton, who is one of the lead pastors for the Hillsong Church in Australia, came up with 99 reasons why we need to come to church. Now, I'm not going to read 99. I just picked a few that I like. He says, you will have the opportunity to worship God. That is to acknowledge him, his worthiness. You'll be encouraged in your walk with God. That can really make this journey. It honors God when you come together and you fellowship. It will help you, I pray, to understand the Bible more. It will bring joy into your life. You'll be prayed for, and this morning, you'll pray for others as you church can do that. On the job, they give you a funny look. You'll be loved. You can love others in church. It'll remind you that you are not alone. Let me say that again. That being in church reminds you that I got like 70 other folk who showed up too. I'm going to see them every Sunday. And if I don't see them, I'll call them. That it comes to a place that I'm not alone. I love what the hymn writer says. I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I've heard the voice of my Savior in church telling me to still fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me in love. How come you come to church? So I can find God in the midst of worship, in the midst of praise. He will not leave you. In fact, He cares so much he sent his son, Jesus Christ. That's how much he loved. And Jesus didn't just come, but he died for us and he shed his blood for us. And on that cross, he gave up the ghost. He died, but he rose again. No other person has done that. I know you like Ripley's Believe It or Not, but you got to believe this. He died and got up again, and he's coming back again. But what I really leave you with today is that when you come to church, know that God will show up. And God will show out. What are you doing today? When you come and say, God, you showed out today. You helped me. God, you showed off today because you've shown me a better way. Has he showed up in your life today? Has he showed up and let you know that everything is going to be all right? That's what you're here in church. You won't get that from a motivational talk, but I've come to tell you that God is with you today. Now take that home with you. Amen. That God's peace is in the house. Now take that home with you. That God's love is in the house. Now take that home with you. God's joy is in the house. That's why I come to church. That's why I'm drawn back every Sunday. And that's why you come. Because something happens in the church experience that I might not be able to explain, but I like it. Don't you like it today? Don't you like it today? And that's how come. That is why church. That is the word of God. It is already blessed. Stand today all over this place. Somebody asked you, so you went again today, huh? What did they talk about? Coming to church. Don't need it. Oh, you don't want peace then. Don't need it. You don't want presence, do you? And you've come today to answer those who ask the question. Come to Jesus. It is well. Sing it with us today. How many know that today? Can you say it today? My, let's say it again. Just pick those words apart. Like a river. My powerful. Whatever. Come on, let's say it. It is well. That's the message today. Can I walk away from church assured that my soul is in good keeping? The soul is the part of our experience that lives on. Even though this earthly tabernacle will dissolve, it'll break down. You'll hurt, it'll ache. But when you come to that place in life where God calls you home, in a saved relationship, your soul goes right away to commune with Him. And so it may not be well with my body all the time, or my mind, or my heart, but it's well with my soul. As we bow our heads today, I want to appeal to you about the one who established the church, who founded it some 2,000 years ago as a meeting place, as a meeting of the minds, that at the center of the church, Christ reigns. And today I just want to put it out there. Do you know Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sins? That's a question that's been asked for generations. Do you know Him? Have you experienced Him? I raise the question today, as I do every Sunday. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What does that mean in 2015 terminology, Reverend? That means I believe that God exists. I believe He is the Father of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe Christ was sent by way of a babe, grew, healed, delivered, died, rose again. The Bible says if I believe that in my heart, if I confess it unto Him, I shall be saved. Today, as you grapple with that question, am I saved? I want you to think about it for a moment. It took me some years to really grasp that. I was in church, but I wasn't real clear about my salvation. I was a church boy, but I impressed. I couldn't tell you really why I was saved. Now I can't. Somebody asks you, are you saved? Yes. How do you know? I believe that God sent His Son, Jesus. I believe He died. I believe He rose again. That's by faith. As your Bible says today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you've never made the commitment, if you've never opened your heart to Him, you can do it right now. Without any fanfare, while those heads are bowed today, I appeal to you. I urge you to open your mouth and to confess to Him, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have fallen short. But your word tells me, if I believe that you sent your Son, who lived, who healed, who taught, and that if I believe that He died and got up again from the grave, you said I'd be saved. As your Bible says, if you're not saved today, you want to be saved. I'd love to guide you in that way. I'd love to tell you more about Him. If you know that you're saved today, saved without a shadow of a doubt, know Jesus. If you came back today, you knew. Take your seats if you know that. If you know it without a shadow of a doubt. If you know it. If you know it. Praise God. I'm not taking a sermon that tells me everybody is saved. That is my hope and my prayer today. And that's one of the reasons why I come to church. I come to church and say, Lord, give me something to give the people that I might encourage their hearts. And there might be one in the crowd who knows you're not. And that's my assignment today. Isn't God good? Let's give Him praise today and give Him honor. Why come to church? I'm glad you asked. I come because it's the place of His presence. It's the place of His peace and the place of His power. You got that? Man, you can take that home with you today. Let's give God a praise and stand over this place today. Come on, stand. It's time to go home.
I pray you were helped in some way by this message. Be sure to follow Harvest Christian Ministries on radio, CD, podcast, or over our new website, It's cometoharvest.org. That's come to harvest, C-O-M-E, the number 2, and harvest.org. Take time to experience the website and all that we have to offer as a ministry. In the meantime, pray that God will continue to allow us to reach a community for Christ for the cause of the kingdom. I'm Dr. Tim Tootin. Have a great day in the Lord.